Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. We have a student with us today who is an independent filmmaker. He's produced a full-length feature film called Sound of Dogs that was shown at the Belcourt Theater in Nashville December the 21st. And is entered in the Nashville Film Festival, which is scheduled for April. Sound of Dogs is described as a psychological thriller about Sutton Gundry, a boy in high school who learns about his forgotten past through a girl named Casey Sterrett. Warren Smythe is our guest. He directed it, he co-wrote it, he produced it, and he edited it. Do I have all your jobs down pat, Warren?
Yes.
Pretty much. Warren Smythe, welcome to MTSU on the Record. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Let's start out with the basics. You're from Hendersonville, and all the actors in this film were from Hendersonville. Is that right?
Yes, all the actors and the people who helped out on the film were from Hendersonville. The assistant director, Alex Klein, is also from Hendersonville.
And you shot it in Hendersonville?
Yes, all the locations were in Hendersonville.
And what is the running time on the film?
I believe it's 57 to 58 minutes.
Okay. And to flesh out the plot a little bit more for us, what does Sutton go through? If you watch the trailer, which is available on YouTube, there's several references to suicide or the contemplation of suicide.
Well, I guess the trailer might be a little bit misleading, and without giving away too much about the story and telling the end of the story. Sutton Gundry is a boy in high school, and he does meet this girl named Casey, and it's sort of like a friend, maybe a little bit of a loving relationship that they have, and he finds out something about her that's a little bit peculiar and reminds him of something that happened in his past, but he can't quite put his finger on it. And the time that they spend together, he starts to change his personality. And she starts to notice it, and people around him start to notice it, such as his parents and other friends. And at the end of the film, you know exactly why this girl, Casey Sterrett, is bringing something out of him that he hasn't seen before.
Now, I haven't seen the film itself, just the trailer, but the trailer also seems to suggest certain surrealistic elements in the film. Would that be accurate to say? Or dream sequences, something along those lines?
Yes, there are a couple of dream sequences. The way I wrote that, and why I wrote that, was because I think that a lot of things that you actually think, maybe in your subconscious mind, are shown to you when you dream. And so the things that he would remember would be during the dreams and would help him out and also hurt him and also confuse him. But it does give a major clue to figuring out what has actually happened in the past.
Where did the inspiration for this movie come from with you?
Well, it was actually a class I took here at MTSU. It's a psychology class. We were talking about, I believe, dissociative identity disorder, kind of like split personalities, and I think another disorder. I can't put my finger on it right now, but it was those two disorders that Sutton Gundry has in the movie. And I was thinking about those, and I was like, well, that would make for a very interesting character if he had these, and no one knew he did. And these would only come up when other people triggered these disorders.
Does that necessarily mean that Sutton has dissociative identity disorder, or not necessarily?
Well, and this might be fictional, but I wrote it to where when he hears something or when he sees something or smells something that he remembers or reminds him of his past, or reminds his subconscious of his past, he kicks into another personality, maybe another personality of him when he was younger, or of someone else that was involved in this event. This event is the whole story is surrounded about this event when he was smaller.
How did you become interested in making your own films, and what experience, if any, did you have prior to putting Sound of Dogs together?
Well, it all started pretty much 2005. I got a small video camera from my dad for Christmas, and I started making videos of the family, and started making little home videos with my friends, and start having like a little bit of a storyline to each of the stories or to the videos I'd make, and people liked what I did, and I really enjoyed doing it most of all, and so I would work on projects for school, both my projects and other people's projects, and then I'd start doing short films, and the first short film that I did, it was actually I did a lot of short films before this, but the most serious professional short film that I've ever did, in my opinion, would be The Connection. It was for intro to film class in high school, mm-hmm. and I wrote it with Matt Robinson and directed it, and he assistant directed it. And
he was also involved in Sound of Dogs as well.
Yes, he was. He was actually one of the music writers, and he helped on the score, actually. So, yeah, it's good to have a connection, pretty much another connection. But we worked on this, and we won first place in the Hendersonville SPIFF Film Festival. And after that, it was just on a roll after that, and I made another short film about Ted Bundy, and Sound of Dogs, I'm pretty sure, was the next short film the next film after that, and I never made a feature film before, and I was very excited for it, and although it was very low budget, you know, $30 was used to make Sound of Dogs, and pretty much, instead of using the money, we used people to help us out. You know, we had families to help us out with homes and food and feeding, you know, like feeding the actors, and everyone in Hendersonville seemed to help out, so we didn't have to use that much money, which is, I'm very grateful.
Living in the digital age must have been really essential to helping you shoot this on a relatively low budget. Could you see yourself being able to afford to do this back in the analog days before photographic equipment was relatively inexpensive at high quality?
Yes, I could see myself doing this. I think I might even enjoy it more. I've always enjoyed the more crude techniques of filmmaking. I know it'd be harder. It would probably be a little bit more money. I would have to ask a lot of people to help me out on, some maybe MTSU could help me out on developing and editing the film, you know, which would be either on, probably film, if I shot on film, which would be very interesting. And I think that I want to strive towards shooting film, which I think is just, once you've hit film, you've hit the top of filmmaking. You've, really got it then.
As opposed to videotape.
I think so, yeah.
What approach did you take to making your film about Ted Bundy?
Well, it was actually a project for school. Mm-hmm. Someone came to me and said, we just need a video about Ted Bundy, just a video. And, of course I could make it real short, and just a documentary style, but I said, I think it might be fun to actually have, like a plot and a storyline in it. And, we actually used one of the people from Sound of Dogs, Ryan Galbraith, he was the main character. He was Bundy. And Taylor Jensen, which Taylor Jensen was this girl that Bundy was preying upon. Taylor Jensen was the was the big sister, the babysitter in Sound of Dogs. It was shot in about 2 days, in about 2 hours each day, and edited for about a half a week, and then shown to the class, and then given to a lot of people, and they really enjoyed it.
So it was shown as an action sequence, as opposed to, as you say, a documentary or a courtroom drama or.
Right. Yeah, it was composed of just like maybe an a small intro, you know, introducing like, you know, Ted Bundy, like in a parking lot, and showing different girls come by, and one girl that was attracted to Ted Bundy, which would be a brunette girl, which Ted Bundy was very fond of at that time. Showing the way that Ted Bundy preyed upon this brunette girl.
In film class in high school, were you introduced to information and literature about lenses and camera angles and symbolism and that sort of thing? Or how much reading on your own outside of class did you do in order to become more knowledgeable about that?
Especially in the intro to film class.
Yeah.
We talked about we didn't really talk about like the mechanical aspects of the camera, but we did talk about more of the symbolic aspects of a story, a storyline, you know, colors and the stuff that you'd maybe study in a intro to motion picture class here in MTSU. But it was a beginner class, you know, because a lot of people in the class had never made a film before. It was a class that taught me a little bit about filmmaking, a little bit more, the side that I haven't seen before, because I had never really thought there was an art to it before. I thought it was more of a just express what my mind is feeling, you know, without regards of what the audience thinks. But this kind of gave a new perspective to filmmaking, more of a perspective that included a lot of thought going into each shot.
When you looked at movies or went to the movies before you took this class, did you ever look at them in a critical kind of way, or did you just view them as entertainment?
Well, to be honest, it when I started filmmaking, when I got my first camera, up until this point, it was very gradual. And not at one point was I like, you know, oh, this it snaps in my mind, like this is how it's made and this is how hard this is. But it was just very gradual for me.
So it's not like, you know, you'd go to the movies and watch a film and go, oh, I wish I could direct like Scorsese, or I wish I could direct like Jonathan Demme, or whoever you admire.
Oh, I mean, at some points I did. I mean, I guess it just took time, and then I guess around after intro to film class, it was easy for me to look at films and say, you know, oh, I wish I could direct like them, especially like Stanley Kubrick. I wish I could get the shots that he does and the story and I'm trying to push myself away from that right now because that's Stanley Kubrick's art and it's not mine and I need to develop my own art, which a lot of shots that Stanley Kubrick got, you can kind of see similar shots in Sound of Dogs, very wide angles and tracking angles, I really do like that. I think it's going to be hard to steer away from, but I definitely think that I'm ready for it.
How would you describe your own individualistic film vision? Can you put it into words?
For Sound of Dogs?
For Sound of Dogs, or just in general?
Well,
Because you say you don't want to be replicative or imitative of Kubrick or anybody else, but you want to flesh out your own style. Is there a way in which you can express that verbally?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a lot of styles that I try to get across to the audience, but the main style, I think 60 to 70% of the material that I create has a very creepy look to it, even if it's a comedy or a romantic drama such as Seth MacFarlane, which I'm directing right now.
You like to explore the dark side.
Yes, and not really dark, but just twisted. Something that you would think of if you were, you know, alone at one point and you are listening to, say, some kind of happy or classical music, what I listen to. And you can just see this vision play out in your head. It's something, someone does something, you know, that's peculiar, and someone walks out that is dressed in some kind of costume or some special kind of clothes, and you can just see it play out in your mind, and it's almost horrifying. And I think that capturing that and putting that on film is what I'd like to do.
Do you think that you'd like to pursue strictly feature-length films, like, as a profession, or can you see yourself doing all different kinds of work, including music videos and other types of things?
Well, I mean, I've been all over the spectrum just because I want to get the experience. But I would love to work in feature films, work on feature films for the rest of my life, and I just like to direct them. I don't want to take the latter approach, you know, start at the bottom, get to the top. I mean, maybe that's what I have to do, but I would just love to just keep directing feature films as it is, no matter if I go stay in Hendersonville, Nashville, or Murfreesboro, if I go off to New York or Los Angeles. I just want to keep directing feature films. And of course, short films, documentaries, music videos are great. You know, I'm talking to someone now who they want me to direct a music video for them, and I'm already thinking of the idea, and I think it'd be just great. And I think that music video might help out on inspiration on later films. I think that just, you know, putting my mind across the whole thing and having lots of inspiration of my own works, you know, music videos and short films, I think that it's a great way to open my mind up.
Now, MTSU doesn't have a film school per se. There are several students on this campus who are involved in independent films and who like filmmaking, but it's not like USC or UCLA. So what made you choose, given your interest in film, MTSU over other universities?
Well, MTSU, for the most part, is close to my home, and it's where my family lives. That's where my family lives. It's somewhat of a home to me, but I think overall it's not very crucial for me to just run off to UCLA or New York or some kind of film school, because it's, I don't think it's the actual school that gets you better filmmaking, but I think it exposes you. It's one of the best ways to expose you to ideas and connections, networking, people, ideas, a new way of thinking. And it's hard to say that, you know, UCLA is the best school. MTSU might be the best school for filmmaking. I don't know. But it might have just a wonderful group of teachers and networking that is just such a great environment for students. But I think I want to explore. I think I want to go to, I want to go here. And I also want to go to New York, which I plan to do fall. And I want to test it out and see if New York is actually better than MTSU. And so far, MTSU has been great, but I think I would like to test it out.
Back in the day, back in the early stages of television, a television actor was looked down upon by people in the film community as sort of the lowest form of creative life. And now, of course, people jump back and forth between TV and motion pictures all the time, using one as a stepping stone for the other. How do you feel about film versus TV as media go? Could you see yourself ever doing television, either like a long form made for television production like an HBO or an episodic television series?
I really can't see myself doing that. I don't want to close the door, but I hardly watch television as it is. I think I have turned on the TV once in about 2 or 3 months.
Too limiting, too commercial?
Well, I guess just the interest is not there for me. I mean, maybe if I turn on the TV, I'd open my eyes and be like, wow, there's a lot of stuff that I'm missing. But, I mean, in regards to the difference between film and television, I don't know. I think that television, and I might be wrong, but I think that television seems to adhere to just the masses of people, and it's more for just the general public and appeasing the general public. But I feel that film is such an artistic way of storytelling that can only be done in a film, that can only be shown in a theater with the person sitting down in front of a large screen and not talking to anyone else and watching the movie. I think that experience is just so much more saturated than an actual just turning on your TV and watching a program, or, you know, renting a series at home. You know, even though if you do rent something like a film at home, I think that the experience is even greater, because I think, you know, you don't, it seems like people don't say, you know, like, oh, let's, on Friday night, let's, you know, sit down and watch this, you know, on TV. They say, you know, let's go rent this movie, let's watch this. And, well, it seems like me, and I guess my friends that are in film seem to do that, but you seem just like a film is much more of a huge experience, and I think that's what I want to be a part of, that big saturated experience.
They say that film is really a director's medium as opposed to an actor's medium. Would you agree with that?
I think so. Yeah, I do agree with that.
How would you react if you were on the other side of the camera? Do you think that you'd be able to take direction as well as you give direction?
Well, I can't remember the last time I actually acted in front of a camera. But
can you see yourself doing that?
I could see myself doing that, but I also,
because then you'd have to be giving your interpretation of some other guy's vision instead of doing your own vision.
Exactly, which I think that it would be hard. It might not be, but I think it might be hard for me to, you know, I'm usually giving the direction exactly what I want the actor to feel like or look like, or, you know, how I want him to feel. It's always been that way. And for me being the actor, I think that it'd be hard to agree with him. But I think, I've been in several play productions, and I've been in, not too many short films. But I think I'd give it a try, being an actor.
In Sound of Dogs, you shot the movie totally in Hendersonville. Can you go back and pinpoint for us the locations in Hendersonville where you shot different scenes?
Well, it was mainly,
or were they private locations, or were there any of them public locations?
There was a lot of public locations. There was a place called Calendar Lane. And that's always been a very nice place for me anyway. I had a lot of memories there. And I think that the best way to get across the scene to the public is connect with myself and say, what place is an actual a good place to just sit and say, let my memories do the work and just feel comfortable in writing the script and having the actors play out the scenes. I think that there's a lot of places that were home to me that I feel that I could just I'd feel at ease to direct. There were a lot of my friends' houses involved, and there were as a park and a couple private places that we never asked to use, but if people came out and they said, "What are you guys doing?" We would say, "We're making an independent film," and they'd say, "Well, tell me more, just to let us keep filming on the site." And they were very interested, and they watched and they said, "This is great, and usually what we usually ask before we use someone's private property, if we just saw something and we're like, "We really like this, but it's someone's property and we don't have the money to pay them, so I guess all we can do is ask."
Did you go around Hendersonville and scout locations after you looked at the script and said, "Oh, this would be a great place to shoot this scene, and this would be a great place to shoot this scene," or did you just more or less go kind of wing it, as it were?
Well, I mean, yeah, we did scout for locations. We had some people scout for locations, and Alex and I, we had the knowledge of locations in Hendersonville, and we also, wanted to explore everything so we could get the full potential out of Hendersonville. The best place to shoot something.
If people want to watch Sound of Dogs, is there a place where they can go see it if they missed the December viewing at the Bell Court?
Well, yes, there's a Nashville Film Festival premiere if it gets accepted there, and there are a couple of film festivals around Tennessee. I mean, of course, there's some in Canada that we're sending it off to. We are definitely going to do DVD production.
Will you have little extras on the DVD, like
Yes, we
interviews
yes.
and
We have
outtakes and...
about 3 or 4 hours of behind the scenes of actually making The Sound of Dogs, making the feature film. And I want to premiere it here at MTSU in the KUC Theater sometime this semester.
That could probably be arranged. I know that that's been done for other independent films that students and alumni have been involved with. So maybe you could even get it on MTTV as well. It couldn't hurt. Or also Channel 9 or Channel 10 here locally.
Excellent.
Yeah. Should we refer them to the website? If you want to view the trailer for Sound of Dogs, go to www.soundofdogs.com. And perhaps when the DVD is ready, there'll be more information about how you can obtain that on that website at a future date.
Yes.
Okay. Warren Smythe, thank you for being with us today on MTSU on the Record.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at this same time next Sunday. And don't forget, you can catch the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com. And we're also available on iTunes.